like a snake calling on a phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind, 'cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. All right.
All right, thanks for tuning in. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music and talk show. Thanks to the news crew for handing over the show, passing the baton to me now for only an hour this week. We have a sports broadcast coming up at 7. Now, today we have two of our favourite guests on the show revisiting us. We have later on the show Peter Foldy. He is a recording artist and filmmaker, and we have had a lovely catch-up over the phone this week. He's got a new recording out called Nine Lives. And any listeners who may have been following the show for a while, we've spoken extensively with Peter in the past about his early life in Australia, where he got to know the Bee Gees when they were first starting out. Fascinating story, and we're going to revisit that today. So that's coming up for most of the show, actually. But I'm blessed to have Rose Henry joining us for the start of the show. She has been a guest on this show in the past. She is a hardworking activist, First Nations activist. She really specializes in issues relating to the homeless here in British Columbia. And she's over right now visiting from Victoria, and I'd love to spend the first half of the show chatting with her. So hello, Rose.
Hello, Matt.
Thanks again for coming in. This is quite an impromptu visit, and I'd love to hear what everything you've been up to lately and what brought you over across the ferry this time around.
Besides coming over on the big canoe that's costing everybody a lot of money, you know, the social justice issues that have been, you know, looming over all Canadians are, you know, growing and growing and growing. 4.5 years ago, I started a charter challenge with the voter ID requirement. Under the Federal Elections Act, it was Bill C-31, and I spent most of my time over here in Vancouver having it heard in the Supreme Court of Canada at this end, and that was a battle. That was a battle and a half fighting for the rights of, you know, 33 million Canadians to actually have a democratic system that works for them, not the other way around. And so that battle, you know, I just finished it up in July of this year. And so that was one battle that I think all Canadians should be preparing for the big changes that are happening when it comes to the next federal election, which is like 55 weeks away. I'm like, woohoo, all right, 55 weeks, and we have 55 weeks to address all the social issues that are affecting so many of us, you know, including, you know, the levels of poverty, working with a government that isn't really working for us, even though we're paying them, you know, top dollar, and they're not really practicing democracy. And it's like that battle will go on. There'll be so many people totally shocked when they go to the polling stations and they're turned away because they don't have the right ID. The right ID right now is, you know, having the two pieces of government-approved ID, your current address, signature, photo ID, you know, you name it. It's kind of like, you know, the new way of oppressing people, and they're not just oppressing just, you know, First Nations or people living in poverty. It is everybody right across the board. So people, get your ID. Make sure you're on the election list and that, because if you're going to say that it's time for change, it really is time for change, and it's time for change on getting out and voting. You know, vote for, you know, people that are going to do the work that you want them to do. And remember to watch your politicians between elections, not at election time. Election time, they'll promise you the world and give you absolutely nothing. And, you know, the other local issues at a more, you know, of a regional issue right now is what's happening with Grace Islet. Grace Islet is a tiny, tiny, you know, rock just off of Salt Spring where there's a sacred burial ground. And that sacred burial ground right now is being desecrated by a millionaire man who lives in Edmonton, runs his business out of Edmonton, and he wants to build his summer cottage on the sacred burial grounds just off of Salt Spring Island. And so he has decided that he's going to go ahead and do this. Well, you know, some idiot sold him the permits, and, you know, everybody else is like, okay, I didn't do it. Well, somebody gave him the permits, and all of a sudden now, you know, this guy is building his house on the graves of the Salish people. And the six chiefs from that area, from Salt Spring, Cooper Island, West Saanich, they're all banding together, you know, including the Cowichan people. They're coming together and they're saying, no, you can't do this. You can't build a house on top of our ancestors' grave. And so there's been a lot of protesting there. There's been a lot of people saying, you know, like, this is so wrong. This is where our allies from the non-status community have been coming together and showing their support for the Indigenous rights. And our, you know, local activists have been going out there in their canoes and taking down the fence and doing all sorts of things within their legal rights to say enough is enough. You know, you can't continue on with this stuff. And now this man has decided to sue or charge the six chiefs, one MLA and one city council person, for trespassing. Well, you know, this is what poverty has done to our people, poverty and colonization. The six chiefs, five of them can afford their lawyers, so they've got their lawyers. One chief comes from the poorest reserve on the West Coast, and he doesn't have a lawyer. And he's been charged for trespassing on the sacred grounds and, you know, protecting his ancestors. And the MLA and the city council person, they've been able to come up with their lawyers' fees. So this is where, you know, it's like constitutional, the Indian Act, you name it. It's like, wait a minute, this little piece of land, it's a burial site for our ancestors. These chiefs are trying to stop the development of a summer cottage. And so they've gone to court, and now they have until October the 23rd, which is their next court date, to do their legal presentation in the provincial court in Victoria and do some serious fundraising to help cover the cost of all the lawyers and the travel fees and everything else. And, you know, it's about driving home a message. You know, stay away from our ancestral grounds. Hmm. Respect our people.
This is just one difficult person has brought all this on.
And that's right. And it's not much more different than, you know, what's happening back east, you know, with the you know, the golf courses, the grandmothers who are, you know, from the Mohawk Nation, you know, taking a stance. You know, it's like all the First Nations people right across Canada are suffering at the hands of this government right now.
Well, thanks again for, you know, for coming in, Rose, today, and also reminding us about how important it is to get out and vote, which will happen, you know, within a year.
55 weeks.
So that's a reminder to any students listening, like an ID and things like that is actually really, it's a practical thing to think about, you know.
Yes.
You,
and
you can't be a voice unless.
Check that Federal Elections Act.
Yeah. So, well, thanks very much, Rose. Yeah. We do have to press on because we have this quite a large interview now to broadcast. But thank you. You've been listening to Rose Henry. She is an activist from the city of Victoria in British Columbia. She's been visiting this week to attend some meetings, and we will keep in touch, of course. She's a good friend of this show. So we'll be right back after this, and then the rest of the show, we have an extensive interview with Peter Foldy. Thank you again, Rose.
Thank you.
Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts on Commercial Drive and other areas at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, People's Co-op Bookstore, Audiopile Records, Bad Bird Media, Band Merch Canada, Vancouver Music Gallery, and Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studios.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
Okay, we're back here on Stranded. This is a show all about Australian and Canadian music. And a couple of years ago, I became acquainted with a fascinating gentleman who is really ideal for the show. His name is Peter Foldy, and he is a musician, also quite an experienced photographer and filmmaker. Now, he had a hit song in Canada in the 70s, and it was called Bondi Junction. It actually went to number one in the charts. And what's curious about the song is that it was written about his childhood experiences, well, a particular childhood experience in Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia, where he spent his youth. And we don't have time to play the song today. We have in the past, the Bondi Junction song. You can find the previous interview that we recorded with Peter at ausstrandedradio.com. That is our blog. And but Peter's going to revisit the story behind the song at the start of this interview as well. But we'll be talking a lot about the music of the Bee Gees, because Peter grew up right in the midst of the Bee Gees finding their feet in the Sydney music scene before they exploded eventually to become one of the biggest things in the world. So let's get into it now. For the remainder of the show, this is an interview I recorded this week with Peter Foldy on the phone, and we'll also be talking about his latest record, Nine Lives. So here we go. We're with a very special guest who is a good friend of our show. We've interviewed Peter Foldy in the past. He's actually ideal for this show, as you'll find out soon, because of his connections to Canada and Australia. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
I have fond memories of you being here live in the studio. There are some listeners who might have heard that show, and it is on podcast at ausstrandedradio.com. But for newer listeners, let's go right back to the start. If they don't know who Peter Foldy is, can you summarize your connection to both countries, Australia and Canada?
Well, sure. Yeah, I grew up in Australia. I was born in Europe, but I grew up in Australia, and I'm an Australian citizen. And, you know, spent my formative years there from the age of 7 to 17, and that time my family immigrated to Toronto. And so I'm here in Toronto at the moment. I spend a lot of time in Los Angeles as well, where I have done recording of albums and records, and also directing feature films and some television. So kind of got my feet in two worlds in Los Angeles. But right now I'm really focusing on the music with this new album that I've just released called Nine Lives. So I'm really truly a Canadian Aussie, Aussie-Canadian. You know, when I came to Canada and started making music, I wrote the song called Bondi Junction, which is where I used to catch the school bus. And the story is that there was a girl at the next bus stop, and I threw a note out to her saying, "Would you like to meet me?" Because she was really cute. I used to see her every time the bus went by. And I sent her, threw a note out saying, "Would you like to meet me in Bondi Junction next Saturday?" And she actually showed up, and it, you know, we went to the movies, and there's a little, you know, childhood romance for a few minutes. And, you know, so years later, I wrote a song about it, and I was very fortunate to get a record deal in Toronto. And the song went number one. It got a couple of Juno nominations, and it was like a top pop hit here in the 70s, in the mid-70s. So it's been a very good record for me. Unfortunately, it did nothing in Australia. It wasn't really released there, so it's kind of unfortunate because it's about a place in Australia. But, you know, that it was successful in Canada has been very gratifying, and that led to some other recording contracts. I was signed after that by EMI, Capital EMI, and then by RCA Records and Polydor Records. So, you know, launched a nice sort of 12-year run in the music business, and now I'm back.
Yeah.
Foldy's back.
Well, that's curious. I wasn't even aware that the song wasn't really pushed in Australia, but hopefully now it's going to have a... People are listening in Australia right now, so I think there's more people now who will be aware.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you know, the thing I was just saying to somebody today in those days, you'd get a record contract, and it would be just for Canada, or it would just be Canada and the States, and every territory was like a different license, a different arrangement. Now you put a song on iTunes, and it goes across the world, or you get a song on Amazon, or get your album on Amazon, and it's on Amazon in all the different countries. So, in a sense, I've got worldwide release on this new record, which I wasn't able to do when I was actually having success in the music business. So people in Australia can or will be able to find my album. It's not quite out there yet. I think it's coming out in the next week or two. It is going to be on jbhifi.com.
And we will get to talking more in detail about the album soon, but let's maybe talk again a bit more about that period of your life, because that's when you were fortunate to meet the Bee Gees, when they were first starting out. And our listeners, the thing is, I think a lot of people aren't really aware that the Bee Gees were a lot different to their disco era sound when they started out.
The Bee Gees were, when I met them, they were like young 14, 15-year-old kids who were more like cabaret performers. They were playing in the RSL clubs in Australia. And they used to be on TV and stuff. And a friend of mine who was also a pop singer on television, a guy called Trevor Gordon, he met them first and said, "You got to meet these guys. They're really cool." And they had this very caustic sense of humor. They were from Manchester, and they were very, very funny, very grown-up 15-year-olds. I was a child at 15. I had to do my homework and go to bed. The Bee Gees were, as I was going to bed, they were going out to play in nightclubs. And they were very sort of precocious kids and very, very interesting and incredibly talented. And, so I kind of watched their career as it started to take off. And I've managed to stay, a pretty close connection with them throughout the years, especially to Morris Gibb, who sadly passed away about 12 years ago. And, they've been an amazing influence on me, especially, starting out in Australia, but all through the years, they've just seeing their career has been very motivating, having known them.
The actual years we're talking about, I know, like, say, the British Invasion period was 64 to 66. Was this around those years, or was it?
Yes, it was. I met them around 63, 64, which ages me considerably, but, It is what it is. That's when I met them. They were young. Teenagers. They're funny little kids.
And that's the magic, absolute magic ground zero of music at that point in time, the mid-60s, and it's stayed with you ever since. Songcraft, of course, obviously, even if not consciously, you must have subconsciously picked up on an extraordinary level of sophistication in songcraft. Can you speak to that, about how the craft of songwriting remains important to you?
Well, it's very important. I think everybody has basic influences, and that kind of never leaves you. And, like I said, they were a huge influence. Their type of melodies and their type of music structure, the way they would structure verses and choruses and bridges and things, it was very influential. But other people were doing similar stuff as well. Of course, the Beatles were, like a huge influence on me and millions of other people. But the music of the 60s was, it was a really special renaissance that I don't know if it'll ever come again. It was just a very, very magical time in all kinds of ways, and as were the 70s, but, it's hard to really sort of be really clear. I mean, to me, when I write a song, it just kind of comes out of nowhere. Sometimes you just wake up in the middle of the night and there's like a melody in your head, so I have to get up and sing it into my telephone just to not to lose it.
There's a gentleman you've mentioned to me named Trevor Gordon, who became a member of a band called The Marbles, and he was another mutual friend of yourself and the Gibb Boys. Can you tell us a little bit about him and some of his music?
Trevor, I met him on the first day of high school. He was like a kid sitting by himself, and I was a kid sitting by myself, and we became really good friends. And he was a boy singer. He was about 13 at the time on this very popular TV show called The Johnny O'Keefe Show. And he said he was a singer, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And he met the Gibbs before I did, when he was doing appearances on television. And he also had a recording career, but his recording career really started taking off when Barry Gibb started writing songs for him. And he had a couple of really great, not super successful, but really lovely records that were especially, impressive to me and influential on my later style and writing. One of them was called House Without Windows, And the other one, what was the other one that I think
And I'll Be Happy Too?
And I'll Be Happy Too, which I really, really enjoyed. And they were both written by Barry Gibb, and the Bee Gees sang on them. And they were actually released as Trevor Gordon and the Bee Gees. He's the only guy ever to, you know, get a credit, you know, with the Bee Gees like that. Like, the Bee Gees have always been the Bee Gees. It's the only time it was Trevor Gordon and the Bee Gees on these.
I'm such a lonely boy, looking for someone to love. And when I find someone to love, I'll be happy. You are such a lovely girl, looking for a lonely boy. So won't you fill this heart with joy, and I'll be happy too. I'd like to give my heart a chance for romance for two. I'd like to give my heart away. Let me stay by you, and then I'll be a happy boy, and I'll have someone to care. And all my love is everywhere, 'cause I'll be happy too. So when you look inside, you will never see me cry, in my house without love. La 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 la.
This is Sasha Bellot, and you're listening to CRTR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And we're back on Stranded, and two songs there as recommended by our special guest Peter Foldy, going right back to Australia in the mid-60s, that is Trevor Gordon with the Bee Gees. You heard there, And I'll Be Happy Too, and also House Without Windows. So let's get back into chatting with Peter and a bit more music from the Bee Gees in particular. And you actually, just off air, we spoke a little bit about some specific Bee Gees tracks. Did you want to maybe speak a little to those, like Every Day I Have to Cry Some?
Yeah, Every Day. Well, when I met the Bee Gees, they had just made that record, and it was a really big deal. They were really trying to break into radio, and they had, it's a cover of an American song called Every Day I Have to Cry, and I remember hearing their version and being really impressed with the record. And one night, we all went around, and in those days, people used to stick little posters on telegraph poles of, you know, brand new record from the Bee Gees, and we went around the city just sticking up posters on telegraph poles and on walls. And I know their dad went out and bought a couple of hundred copies of the record to really try and drive it into the charts, but it really wasn't a very successful record for them. But I think a really great, interesting record that most people haven't heard, and it's definitely a song worth listening to. Bee Gees, Every Day I Have to Cry Some. The other one that really started doing something for the Bee Gees was Wine and Women, which was like one of the very first ones by them to really start breaking through into radio. And it's a really good record, and it's on this album called Bee Gees Sing, I think, 14 Barry Gibb songs, a very classic album by them and the first album they ever made. And I have one of the very early copies of that, and I've been told it's worth a lot of money, but I'm not selling it, so yeah. I'm vinyl.
It's so inspiring to hear this because, you know, as I'm a budding songwriter myself, and I'm really inspired to go out and find a songbook that's of this early period, you know, the specific, because the Bee Gees had such a huge period of time where they evolved, but this early period, it's such a curious period.
Very much so. I mean, one of their other early beautiful songs is The Morning of My Life, which was recorded after I already left Sydney, but it's a really beautiful song by them. It's definitely worth checking out. But it's not a song that I was around when it came out, but it gets a lot of covers, and it's a really good track. But, you know, they had a lot of trouble in Australia. I mean, the Bee Gees were not, like, superstars there. They were well-known, but there was kind of a resistance to them also. You know, it's interesting, you know, how they've... In Australia, I mean, radio was resistant to playing them, and the Bee Gees were on a ship sailing to England. They had pretty much given up Australia, and they were ready to go to England and try their luck there when they found out that their single, Spicks and Specks, had gone to number one in Australia. So it took them leaving to really hit the top, and of course once they did those British records, New York Mining Disaster and Words and all that stuff, that's what, you know, they became worldwide successes.
It's interesting how history plays out like that.
Was a little girl I planned to marry. If this was my luck, I didn't want to share. I thought that love would make my life right and sorted. She said she couldn't love me cause I didn't have no money. Every day I have to cry some, dry the waters from my eyes some, till the clouds go rolling by. I really love her, but every night now I'm thinking of her. But you can't mix all your love with money, cause if you do, it's gonna hurt from my body. Every day I have to cry some, dry the waters from my eyes some, till the clouds go rolling by. Just a poor girl. Is it wrong to love her cause she's not a rich girl? But every time you mix love with money, every time you're gonna hurt some of my body. Every day I have to cry some, dry the water from my eyes.
won't complain. I won't complain. I feel no pain. I feel no pain. If this should end. Should end.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola. No marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
And you're tuning into Stranded, the Australian Canadian music and talk show. You can catch us online at ozstrandedradio.com, where we have lots of interviews there archived, including a previous interview with Peter Foldy. He's returned this week. He's back. He has a brand new album out called Nine Lives. We'll speak about that soon, but just there you had two more recommendations from Peter from back in the 60s, the Bee Gees. Wonderful songs there. First up, Every Day I Have to Cry Some, and then Wine and Women. So that's the very early period of the Bee Gees in the mid-60s, and Peter Foldy was a personal friend of the Gibb brothers growing up, and that's how he was inspired to become a songwriter himself. So Peter is fantastic to talk to. We're going to speak now about his brand new album. It's been quite some time in the works. It's out now. It's called Nine Lives, and we're going to play some songs from it as well. Let's bring it maybe now to your current album. It's called Nine Lives. I got to thinking, you know, Peter's put some time and created this album, whereas I get the sense in the industry now there's all this pressure that people have to put out in quick succession, singles and EPs and things that, you know, maybe the art of creating an album is going to be lost a little. And can you sort of speak to that about your process of taking your time?
When I started in the music business, it was a singles world. People would just put out singles, you know. And in fact, I was signed to a singles deal. I wasn't signed to make albums in my first record deal. You cut two or three songs and they picked the single and then they put it out. And then albums started becoming very, you know, more prominent and more popular, and you know, and then that's what went on for a while. But now you're right, we're back to singles again, where a lot of people are just putting out singles because you can get them out there, and because of, like, you know, sort of outlets like YouTube, you know, you can put like a really good song up on YouTube, which then generates lots of views and lots of attention, and, you know, and I guess the ultimate aim is always to sell an album, I would think, you know. But I didn't put any pressure on myself either way in terms of doing this album. I did take my time in recording it and tried to find the best musicians. We had some really good players on it. And, you know, I figured it'll be done when it's done, you know. And I tried to, you know, just do the best I can in the time and the budget that we had allocated to this thing. And it's actually taken, you know, about 2.5 years to get this thing done. But it's, you know, I'm pretty pleased with the results.
Oh, that's great. We'll be airing some tracks from this album for sure as well.
Carly, it's not fair. I won't be there standing beside you. You think I'm wasting your time, not towing the line. I always misguide you. Now you're sipping vino, or is it cappuccino? As you give your heart away. Always thought that we were connected. Losing you like this is rather unexpected. Carly, can't you see I'm trying? That's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. Carly, you've made your move. You've got something to prove, and you think it's essential. Weren't you the one to declare? Inconsequential. I'm staring out the window, sitting here in limbo, watching night turn into day. Suddenly our love feels suspended. Is it true? Have I really been unfriended? Carly, can't you see I'm trying? That's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. In this crazy world we live in, people taking, they're not giving. All I wanna do is help you open up. I put a post on your wall saying love conquers all, and I know it's conclusive. The sounds of hallelujah are loud enough to fool you when you're lost in nowhere land. It hurts to think that you're not behaving. Maybe it's a drag, but this love is still worth saving. Can't you see I'm trying? 1 minute more, that's all I'm asking for. Carly, please don't leave me crying. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. Send me a message, girl. Say that you'll be home tonight. Sometimes it's magic, sometimes it's tragic. I never know what to find. I come a-courting, feeling important, but you're in the wrong state of mind. Why is there always this great transformation? I think I'm caught in a weird situation. Roxanne, one day you're up, one day you're down. Roxanne, you've really got me turned around. Can I continue to see something in you? Have you really got what I need? My visions of splendor are getting quite slender.
Why are you so hard to read? You're like a seesaw that's always in motion. How can one girl cause such a commotion? Roxanne, one day you're up, one day you're down. Roxanne, you've really got me turned around.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
You are listening to Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show, and our very special guest today, Peter Foldy, returning to the show. And this time we're talking about his brand new record, Nine Lives. And you just heard two tracks from it right there, Carly, and also a remake of an older song called Roxanne. So let's get back into talking a bit more about the new album and that song in particular. Well, one of them I'm curious about in particular is Roxanne. It's a remake of an older song. How old is that actual song, and why was that one picked in particular?
So Roxanne was a hit for me in 1976, 77. It went top 10 across Canada. And it's not the Police song, Roxanne. It's a song that I wrote called Roxanne. Pre the Police.
Oh.
And it was a very successful, you know, single for me, but it was done in a very sort of poppy, almost bubblegummy vein, and that was probably part of the reason it was successful. But I always felt the song had more to it than just a simple pop record. So when I was thinking about doing this album, I thought I'd like to rethink or reimagine Roxanne more like kind of like a James Taylor-ish feel to it. You know, it took a lot of experimenting to get it to where I think it is now, but I was very pleased with it. And originally, I was just going to do an EP. I was going to do Roxanne, three other songs, but, you know, I just kept building. You know, I kept... Once you start getting into the habit and into the flow of writing songs, they somehow just keep coming, and that's what happened with this album. I just kept writing songs, and I'd go into the studio and talk to my co-producer and say, look, I've just come up with another one. What do you think? And he'd say, dude, I love this. We got to record this one as well. That's how it evolved. But Roxanne, I'm very happy with the reinterpretation on it. And, you know, the Toronto Star, which is a pretty important publication here in Toronto, they spoke very highly of the remake, and people have been very kind to the whole album, but people have been singling out this version of Roxanne. No mother has an ugly child, so, you know, I love all my songs on my album. They're all my babies. But, you know, some of them seem to be resonating maybe a little bit more with people. Carly, a lot of people think should be the single because it's a very sort of catchy, poppy song. There's a song called One of Us, which is a sort of a powerful song that talks about being different and about not fitting in. And it's kind of written about, I mean, it's subject to interpretation, but it's kind of written about like homeless kids and, you know, people who are just a little bit on the outside. And I think it speaks to lots of different people. People will hear a lot of different messages from the song One of Us. There's another song called United, which is kind of a plea, kind of like a John Lennon-ish plea for peace. And this just talks about we can get through the problems of the world if we're united. So that's also another one of my favorites on this album.
And just as a reminder, where people currently right now can find it, I know it's on iTunes.
Definitely on iTunes, definitely on Amazon.ca or Amazon.com if you want to get a hard copy. You can also write to me at my website, peterfoldy.com, F-O-L-D-Y, and I'm selling some signed versions from my website. And then in Australia, it would be jbhifi.com, and it should be showing up there in the next week or two, I would think, by the end of September. It hasn't shown up there yet, but I'm assured that it's going to. What I would love to do, you know, it's funny being on your show, but I would really love it if people in Australia could discover, you know, my music, especially, like, it's crazy nobody knows about Bondi Junction there. You know, I had a number one hit with a song about a place in Australia, and it's just not, you know, not had the release in Australia to make people aware of it. So maybe Nine Lives will be the one to take me back there.
You never know. Speaking of this, you do have a best of album, too.
It's called Peter Foldy, Bondi Junction, and Other Hits, and it came out also on iTunes, also on Amazon. It came out in about, I think, 2008, and it's got all my, you know, hits from the 70s that you know, I put out, mostly things that were successful in Canada, and a couple of new things. There's a great Christmas song on it. By the way, while I'm plugging things, I'm also putting out this year a Christmas EP called Peter Foldy for Christmas, the number four, as opposed to the word F-O-R. So that's going to be on iTunes, Peter Foldy for Christmas. That's not going to be available as an actual physical CD, but it's going to be just on iTunes. You know, over the years, I've recorded individual Christmas tracks, and this year I decided just to put them all together into one EP. So if anybody wants to hear more Peter Foldy, then there's the Christmas stuff, which I'm very keen on. There's some, cool. There's some nice song. I love Christmas music.
Thank you. feel me when you're speeding through an amber light? Can you see me in my raincoat as I'm running for the bus? You can't see me, 'cause you're not one of us. Don't you wonder why I'm standing in the pouring rain? Hear the thunder as you hurry to your warm domain. Try to notice me beside you. I'm not here to make a fuss. You can't see me, 'cause you're not one of us. I don't understand why you think I'll make demands. All I want is just a glance from you. Me, I've been waiting for a chance to shine. Please don't hide me, this is not the place, it's not the time. Try to see me on the corner as I'm stepping off the bus. Can't see me, 'cause you're not one of us.
Bevy Chris Band presents
difficult music, harsh electronics, spoken word, cut up / collage, and a general Chris Band weirdness. Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
And you're tuning into Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music and Talk Show. My name is Matt, and you just heard two more tracks there from Peter Foldy's brand new record, Nine Lives. Track one is In Too Deep, and we also heard their track six, One of Us. So Peter Foldy is someone with an Australian and Canadian connection. So we're out of time there. We actually have a little bit more of that interview left, but we're actually being cut short today by the sports broadcast, which will be starting in about a minute and a half. So we will play that last part of the interview in another show. It's actually quite fascinating where Peter talks about a movie project he's working on, which is just an extraordinary story about a band that apparently the Beatles were championing for a certain period of time just before Brian Epstein died. And it's a true story, and I'll let him, he can speak much better than I can. So we'll play that either next week or in the coming couple of weeks. So the sports broadcast will be on very soon, so I'll say goodbye right now. This has been Stranded. Bye for now.
This is Asa Bilette.
Howdy, folks. We're the Bitterweed Drawn.
This is Zach from Black Breath.
Hi, this is Audie from Broken Bones.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark.
I'm Water Crime Guide.
This is Dan Mangan.
Hey, this is David Pepke from Denmark.
This is Dylan Osick from Slingshot.
Hi, this is Dick Valentine from Electric Six.
Hi, everybody. This is Fred Penner on the Radio Waves.
This is Fred Schneider.
This is Colin from GBH.
Hi, this is the Gearing Up Inventors.
Hi, this is Bette Ditto from The Gossip.
Hi, this is Brian from Hellshock.
This is Scruffmouth the Scribe.
I'm Shani from Inepsy.
This is Sab Gray from Iron Cross.
Hey, we're J plus J plus J.
This is Jack Mercer from Jack Mercer and the Whiskey Bandits.
It's James Wood, half of Mega Bear.
This is Jeron Paxton, American musician.
This is Swami Bill and the Shameless Weed Hounds from New Orleans, Louisiana, east of the Mississippi.
Hi, this is John Boutte from New Orleans, Louisiana.
This is Jesse Laborde.
I'm Peter Mansbridge.
Hi, this is Ron McLean of Hockey / Movie Night in Canada.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Also on the web, CITR.ca in UBC, University of British Columbia, in Vancouver, Canada. Have our people contact your people, won't you?
The following is a live presentation of CITR Sports.
Good evening, hockey fans. Welcome to our CITR Sports live presentation of Canada West Conference Ice Hockey on 101.9 FM. The University of Alberta Golden Bears face off against the UBC Thunderbirds tonight at the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center. It's time for the opening face-off, and for the play-by-play call of the game, let's connect right now with our commentators ringside.